Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh, man. Or ma'am.
Oh, ma'am.
Corey Majors. And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck you doing?
What is the most adult thing you've ever done or that you're going to do today?
In a boring fashion. Don't tell me about you went to this party and threw your keys in the bowl or whatever.
Huh. What is that supposed to mean?
That's a swingers party.
I'm sorry, what?
You are such a liar.
I thought it was because you were going to drink and you weren't supposed to drive after.
That's what I thought, too. I'm not going to lie.
And I was like, well, I'm not drinking.
Okay, well.
Wink.
So the idea is then someone takes your keys and you're like, oh, those are mine. And then.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Kevin indeed. Knows a lot about this.
I watch a lot of movies. All right.
I'm doing well, Kevin. Thanks for asking, man.
All right, so let's talk about the Cowboys. And I had an interaction yesterday with one Paul Worth from right. Worth Collecting.
Good.
Who is an avid Commanders fan.
Oh,
and
it was rough for his business.
He was also at the game with his family. And I told him ahead of time, I was like, I hope you have a terrible day.
Same.
And he goes, you too, buddy. And so he, as many people do, talking about the Cowboys fans, and he's like, oh, did you go and buy your Super Bowl tickets? Because I know that's how a lot of people feel. It is the roller coaster ride that is the Dallas Cowboys, where multiple times this season, they've already looked incredible and like one of the worst teams in the NFL. So we're to the point where we're 7 games in, and I don't know if this team is good or not.
Okay. You don't know if it's good or not?
Yeah. It's yesterday they looked good. Last week they looked terrible.
It's good at things.
Okay, I'll concede that.
The what exactly, like we know the quarterback is good. And if you're going to argue about that, don't bring that here. Come on, what are you even watching right now? We know the running back is good.
Yes.
I don't know.
It was good to see that yesterday.
Yeah, it was nice to see that they got that back. I'm going to chalk that up, Kevin, to Tyler Smith had been out and then needed, and then he was back in and, you know, it took a minute. You know, the offense took a minute to get back rolling a little bit. Booker being back was nice, too.
Yes.
We know that we have 2 really good receivers, a tight end that's playing as well as we've ever seen him play before.
And he is a touchdown machine this season.
They have lots of plays for him. They have a lot of plays for him whenever they get in the red zone. And that's good. I love seeing that. We also know that the defense has room to grow.
Right.
And when you, this is the question I'm asking right now, because they played what, 56% man yesterday?
And you saw that immediately.
And Elam and Bridges were talking about it after the game, and they were like, he's allowing us to do the things we're good at. He's given us these opportunities to go out there and be this for ourselves. Show that, Kevin, you know how I always say Mike Maddox goes out there and says, do it your way, buddy.
Right.
We'll see how that works out. And then whenever you screw up, he's like, now do it my way. and watch how much better you are. I wonder if Eberflus was like, all right, guys, show me that you deserve to play man. Whenever you guys start showing me like the things that I need to see, then I'll start doing a little more of that. Once I can trust you to do your jobs, then maybe I'll let you do it. Now, again, Kevin, those receivers yesterday for Washington were not Deebo Samuel or Terry McLaurin.
Right.
We understand that. For anybody that just showed up, we understand that. But they said, we're going to play this man, and our linebackers are going to do their jobs, and the defensive line is going to do their jobs, and we're going to have a good defensive game. I don't know if you're going to see that every game, but it looked like Eberflus trusted his guys a little bit more yesterday, and I think that's important.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and throw out my bold statement now.
Super Bowl?
Not that bold of a statement. All right. I'm going to throw out my lukewarm statement right now. Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, no Browns on the IR, so I'm not counting him. Have both of them yesterday, Cowboys still win that game. Because look, man, your defense for Washington was still getting torched. Now, I realize having both of those players has the opportunity to extend offensive drives, which can flip field position or just give fewer opportunities to the Cowboys offense. The Cowboys dominated that game yesterday, so much so that I was able to reflect about the idiocracy of a handoff 5 yards deep into the end zone when you're on the 1 yard line and you're like, for God's sake, sneak it.
Yeah, that was frustrating.
That was such a stupid play call.
Quick slant.
I hated it.
Over and over.
Yeah.
Let anger deal with it.
I really thought, because look at the way that game played out. You scored a touchdown, then you force a three and out, and you're like, what kind of sorcery is this? And I was like, here we go. We're going to rock and roll. I really thought that when you gave up the safety and then that led to an ensuing touchdown, I was like, we're going to lose because of that stupid play and it's all going to spiral out of control. But guess what? It didn't take that long because you scored, then forced another three and out, then scored a touchdown, then forced another punt, and you were just ready to roll after that. At no point did I really think after that, after the Cowboys scored, that they were in trouble. They controlled this game, dare I say. They dominated this game. So you know what? Give them two of those wide receivers. Give them all three of those wide receivers. I don't think it would have made a difference. I realize that Jaden Daniels also left the game, but at a point where he had been fairly contained, and I don't think that injury would have made a difference in the outcome of the game either.
Okay. Kevin, this defense did enough. So that's what I know right now, is that this defense can do enough. This is like whenever your kid comes home and has an A, and you're like, you just showed me you could do it.
Yeah.
What the F was the problem before?
Right.
You know, this is the day that you have power and leverage over your kid because they've shown you they are capable of doing it. And so now you and the rest of themselves have to hold it accountable. And I think you may have seen a little bit of the leadership on defense step up. Sounds like Kenneth Murray. I don't know if you saw that. He was like, look, I watched extra sessions with the guys. And I think when you're doing something like that, you're trying to say, hey, what are you seeing whenever you're out there? Because this is what I'm seeing without the teacher around. You know, you're like, hey, this is what I'm expecting to happen. Whenever I do this, what are you guys seeing? And then y'all have that communication and then they go, oh, well, that's not what's supposed to be happening. So Kenneth Murray was a little bit better yesterday. The defense was better. And now you hold them to that kind of it. All right, guys, if that's what it takes, do an extra couple sessions every week.
Yeah.
Whatever it's going to take, that's what you need to do in order to make sure your defense is prepared each week.
And that is one of the things that I love and hate about the Cowboys, if that makes sense. It feels like they're the best at showing you enough to get you excited all over again, knowing that inevitably, to a certain extent, they're going to pull the rug right back underneath you. Because, like, that was one of the things.
That's sports, too, though. But it does seem like it's this Cowboys
team. That does happen in sports. Look, I feel like A&M is doing the most epic troll job on their fan base right now when they're like, you just wait, brother. But it feels like the Cowboys excel at it. We asked Jerry on Friday, you know, do you just need to get middle of the pack defensively? And more or less, they probably looked middle of the pack defensively and they kicked the Commanders' ass. But you've already seen what? At least two, probably three, where you're like, I can see how they're right there at the bottom of all defensive categories with Baltimore. And that's where I go back and forth, because Washington is not an amazing team or anything like that. But it seems like maybe outside of the Bucs, this is not the most amazing year for the NFC. So you dominate Washington. You're now up to second in the division somehow. And I'm still like, I don't know. I could see you getting worked by Denver. Then again, I guess I could see them being ahead by 17 points going into the fourth quarter against Denver. And then they end up losing the game. So I don't know. I watch every second, probably multiple times of every Cowboys game this year. And I'm like, the offense is good. And your follow-up questions will probably confuse me.
What follow-up questions?
Yeah. So are they good?
Not yet.
Yeah. And Alec, are you saying no? Or are you like, I don't know?
I'm searching for an answer in thin air and I can't find it.
Yeah.
They're not good yet.
Okay.
Their offense is good. The team is not good yet.
Okay.
Because good is consistency. And this team has not showed consistency overall.
Yeah.
I mean, win a few games in a row. That's consistent. Have a couple of games where your defense has multiple sacks and touches the ball more than once. Is this stat real? That this was, because I think Brad Sham said that that was the first touch of the football by a defensive back all season long. I do believe there were only two other ones before that. Is this that's a real thing? So yeah, that's where there are some things they still have to grow and build on. This was an anomaly for one game.
Yeah.
Based on what we've seen so far, they can beat bad teams. Kevin, the Bears are a good team. They're 4-3. The Panthers are 4-3.
That's so weird.
So the Cowboys have lost to good
and
teams.
And the Eagles have a winning record too. They're 5-2. So
you've lost to good teams. You've beaten bad teams. You got to figure, and you've, I guess the Packers are kind of a, what are they really?
Yeah.
Because you tied them. So that's where you are. You're exactly what, Kevin, this is as Cowboys as it gets.
Okay.
3-3-1.
All right, great. Well, then we can go ahead and just figure this out right now. Are you ready, Alec? Here we go. All right, so you're going to lose to the Broncos, beat the Cardinals, beat the Raiders, lose to the Eagles, lose to the Chiefs, lose to the Lions. Ooh, starting to get just a little bit rough right there. You're going to tie the Vikings because they're 3-3, and so that is how it's going to work. But you know what? You might be right. I will tell you this, and we talk about...
I had the Cowboys at 4-3 right now.
Okay.
Based on my table...
Ah,
that I put together.
And what was
the season.
Final? 9-8.
9-8.
Okay,
I had them at 4-3 right now. Nobody would have predicted the tie,
right?
So,
although
here we are.
I mean, but there's already been at least two games this season, after the Bears game and after the Panthers game in particular, that you wondered if football for the team a lot of our listeners are rooting for, all of us included, was going to matter past. Next week, maybe pass the bye. And the thing that this team continues to show you, for better or worse, is they're going to figure out a way to make it matter. Now, I know this is infuriating for some fans because this goes back to when you would always go to the last week of the season and have a shot, like maybe at winning the division, probably more likely winning the wild card and everything like that. It feels like this team might be destined for middle of the pack once again. But when you watch that offense, I fall into the same trap as everybody else.
The trap.
I can't stop my mind from running wild and being like, average defense, best offense equals.
So on, you think they're average by the end of the season?
I don't know if I do. Like,
because average right now, Alec, is 22.7 points given up per game.
So we were better than average
better
yesterday.
Better than average yesterday.
We did it.
By points, because they didn't give up 0.7.
But, like, you see what I'm saying, right? If you can get to average defensively.
You think they can be.
I don't.
Okay, because you don't know.
No, because there's part of me that wants to say, oh, you know, I saw James yesterday. He's moving up in the world. I saw Ezraku. He's moving up in the world.
I believe in Ezraku.
Okay.
I believe that's real.
Daron Bland looked like a middle linebacker out there. And so, like, those are the things. And is this just what Jadeveon Clowney does? And you're like, man, that was a savvy pickup right there. There are elements that make me think that, but it's not fair or not.
Because it hasn't been consistent.
Yeah, and like, I don't think you can completely dismiss what happened last week just because we're happy with what happened yesterday. So that's where I'm conflicted. I guess I would lean towards no.
All right.
I'm not sure about that.
Let's say in the next two games, they show to be consistent.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, hold on. When's the trade deadline?
I think it's the beginning of the month.
All right.
So you get one more.
You get one
beginning
more.
Of next month, obviously.
They look a little consistent and average. And you feel like this offense is elite. They score 40 points a game at home, except for yesterday. It was, 38 because the defense got. So you think this offense is elite. The defense you think might be average. Can you make a move to make them better than average so that your dream comes true?
Here's what sucks. I said I thought it was at the beginning of the month. It's November 4th, so it's right after the Cardinals game. And here's...
Guess when that is. That's their bye week.
Yes. And so that has all the elements. You know what? All right, fine.
He's making headlines during that week.
I will concede the point. You win these next two games, and you give up 22 or less points in both of them. Going into the bye?
Go make a move?
Fine. I'll be open for business.
Two weeks ago, you weren't.
I know. And this is the thing. This is where, and I want to know, do you have trouble separating it? Alec, do you have trouble separating? Does everybody listening right now?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I have trouble separating it. That is such a stupid move based on Cowboys history, because what's going to happen? It's going to propel them all the way to getting their ass kicked in the wild card round. But that's based on Cowboys history, and you hear it all the time. I am beholden by Cowboys history. But that's not to say Kenny Clark is. That's not to say, hell, even Dak isn't. You heard Tom Brady yesterday. Every NFL season is wildly different. So who the hell knows? Maybe this is the year. I know that's a stupid thing to say. And so here I am. I'm stupid.
From the 3-2-1. So what you're saying is these next games are pivotal.
So you're telling me.
Oh my God.
Pivotal!
Yes. If the Cowboys.
Sorry, I was so loud.
Go into the bye at 5-3-1 on a three-game winning streak. I'll fall into the trap, because that's what we love and hate about sports, right? I love the fact that the Cowboys could be good, but I hate the fact that deep down, I know what's going to happen is in the middle of January, we're going to lose a game on the road in the wild card round. I'm going to be like, yeah, no kidding, dumbass. Mm-hmm. This is always what was going to happen.
Hey, man.
Thanks. Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate the hey, man, that you just gave us there.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, a Dak Prescott appreciation segment. And what does this NFL MVP race look like? We'll do it next right here on the Fan.
They are on the ball quickly. First down, play fake, boot right, throws it out to the right. Ferguson dives in from the two. Touchdown, Ferguson.
The guy is a touchdown machine.
That is the phrase that I used as well. By the way, Jake Ferguson, if he gets one more touchdown this season, he'll have as many as he did in his first three seasons combined. So, hooray for Jake Ferguson. Now, let's have a Dak Prescott appreciation segment. Then the question of what does the NFL MVP race look like?
Oh, man.
Because I just saw somebody text in, I don't know how Dak can't be in the MVP conversation because of the dumb way that we continue to seemingly vote for MVP, where you have to be the quarterback of one of the best, I don't know, like four or five teams. And unfortunately, right now, the Cowboys are not one of the best four or five teams.
Why not?
Because they are 3-3-1.
Because of their defense.
Yes. For
which
sure.
Which is like unfair to the quarterback of the offense. As you pointed out last week with the index. What was the index? The betrayal index. Where his defense has basically betrayed him most of the season long. Kevin, I just took a quick gander because last week you said that, and I want to bring back all the old words now. You know, I got lots of old words that I want to bring back to the front.
Do.
I don't know. Like dame and bird and broad and gander and reckon. So that's the thing. But I was like, all right, Dak has got to be. We keep talking about Dak Prescott as if he's the greatest thing we've ever seen. This morning I heard Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton and often Aiden's show ask Nick Eatman, is this the best you've ever seen Dak play? And he said, yes. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, but he finished second in MVP voting a couple years ago. And
I've heard that.
It was a pretty exceptional season. But I was like, okay, his numbers just must be outrageous. Dak Prescott has 16 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. 1,800 yards. So as of yesterday, the numbers had not been changed.
Right.
But your top 10 consist of Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford, Drake May, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jared Goff, Baker, Darnold, Daniel Jones, and whoever else you want to throw in as the 10th one. Like, I don't care. You can say Justin Herbert, Jordan Love. I do not care. Jalen Hurts, if you want to, whatever. All of them, Kevin, are in the 13 to 16 to 7. Like, they're within 4 touchdowns of each other.
Right.
Within 1 interception of each other. And their passing yards, they're all over 1,500 passing yards. The numbers are so close right now, I don't know what's going to be the defining factor other than team record. Because if this keeps up this season, now again, it can't. This is one of the numbers, we talk about this all the time. You'll see the sliding scale move all over the place. It can't stay that way. But if you have 10 quarterbacks that are all within this of each other, because the interception numbers being so low is the thing that I'm just kind of shocked by right now. If they're all within that, those minuscule numbers of each other, what's the difference between them?
So I hear what you're saying. Prepare to be shocked again. I'm looking at some NFL MVP odds. And by the way, those odds can vary wildly at this point in the season.
And even these numbers that I'm pointing out will vary by the end of the season.
Where would you guys put Dak in the MVP rankings right now? You personally.
I would probably put him 3rd.
Okay.
Behind Stafford and Baker.
Okay.
Baker tonight's probably going to go... He's got 12. Now he can't match Stafford, but I think tonight he's going to bump his numbers up.
Alec?
I'd say 2 behind Baker.
Okay. And the betting odds?
I bet he's 7th behind Patrick Mahomes.
Mm. It's going to make you even madder. He's 9th. Patrick Mahomes, and this, I'm just telling you, this is how it goes. Because one of these, I think, is just the worst. It's absurd. Okay, Patrick Mahomes is your favorite. Followed by Baker Mayfield, followed by Josh Allen, Drake May, and Matthew Stafford. Then there's a big jump in odds. Then Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, Jordan Love and Dak Prescott. Now, let's focus in on Jordan Love specifically. Jordan Love, 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That's really good.
It's really nice.
He has a 70.3 QBR, which is 9th in the NFL. Dak Prescott, 16 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and an 81.4 QBR.
What's Jordan Love's record right now?
Exactly. 4-1-1. And probably more importantly, it's the perception that the Green Bay Packers could be the top seed or one of the top 2 or 3 seeds in the NFC. I don't think anybody right now thinks the Cowboys are going to be a top 2 seed in the NFC playoffs. Not to say they can't, but that's not the perception. The perception is Jordan Love's team will be there. And hence, despite having a QBR that is more than 10 points higher than Jordan Love, Dak Prescott is behind him in the MVP voting. I want to make this clear. I am not disagreeing with anybody who thinks he should be there in the MVP betting odds. I'm just telling you, just like when we used to talk about the Hall of Fame, well, this person, that person, this is what the voters vote on. And this is what the AP votes on when it comes to MVP, which sucks because let's go through all of the mind-boggling stats that let you know he should absolutely be in the mix, and it's only his defense that is keeping him down. This is Dak's 4th straight game with 3 touchdown passes and a passer rating of at least 120. All right, he's the 3rd player in NFL history to have 4 games like that. Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, and now Dak Prescott. All right, you want more? Here we go. Dallas has scored at least 40 points in all 3 of its home games. The only other Cowboys team to do that was in 1973. I wonder if they had a quarterback that is very beloved and everybody thinks is badass as well. Oh, yeah. Guess what? They did. One of the most iconic players in the history of the NFL. But I could tell, Alec, you want more. Dak Prescott has had 3+ touchdown passes and 0 interceptions in 4 straight games. That is a new Dallas Cowboys record. Never been done. Ever.
Is it an NFL record, though?
I guess not. Or else I feel...
If he's not breaking NFL records, Kevin, what are we even doing here?
So...
It's special. That's special.
Now, I know the two of the first 3 games, your offense scored 20 and 14, and you lost those games. And I think you can look at both of those games and be like, man, you shot yourself in the foot repeatedly. Let's take that tie and that loss. In those 2 games, you scored a combined 67 points, and you won neither of them. If you can convert that over, you're 5-2. And I know it doesn't work like that. And I know this is going to sound stupid, but if you were 5-2, I think Dak Prescott would be no worse than 2nd on this list. And that's through no particular fault of his own. Although I know people point to that one drive against the Panthers, through mostly no fault of his own. This is the way the MVP race works, but make no mistake about it. He's clearly playing unbelievably right now.
Yeah, you should be 4-2-1 at least.
I agree.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Like that that CeeDee Lamb unfortunate season opener puts another stamp on that too. 8 sacks given up this year. Daniel Jones 6. Who else? Sam Darnold 7, I guess. 6-7.
Okay, stop it.
Has it gotten out of hand yet?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been out of hand for a minute.
They made an entire South Park episode surrounding that.
Mm-hmm. Something that means nothing.
Yes.
It means zero things.
Here's something that does mean something. Dak Prescott, 3 touchdowns without an interception in 4 consecutive games. I told you that. If you take it the passer rating, here are the other quarterbacks to do that. Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady. You're talking about 4 surefire Hall of Famers. And then I don't know what the hell to do with Russell Wilson. Probably not anymore at one time, maybe.
Wow.
But the point is, if you're the 6th person to do that and 4 of them are all-time greats and they're all going to be in the Hall of Fame, that is ridiculous company that you're sitting with right now.
So this is like, I don't know how every one of these quarterback schedules pans out here, but the parity that Jerry's always talking about, obviously team by team is going to balance out there. You're occasionally going to have some teams that have amazing records, some that are miserable, but the majority of the groups are going to be somewhere in the middle. Is that the same for the quarterback play though? Because right now, the quarterback play that we're watching, like we've just pointed out, 10, 13 different quarterbacks that are all viable contenders for this thing.
Sure.
And they might, by the end of the season, all still be in positions to be fighting for this, where we kind of just look at records. But even still, are we in a golden age of quarterback play? I don't know exactly. Joe Burrow's not even playing. Lamar Jackson's team is terrible. This is wild to have this many quarterbacks playing at this high of a level at the same time.
By the way, I'm not trying to infuriate you, but you know who's right behind Dak Prescott is Lamar Jackson. What is the perception? The perception is that the Baltimore Ravens, whether they figure it out or not, will probably be better off than the Cowboys at the end of the season. That is a perception that's hard to break for people, and that's why I think Patrick Mahomes has a very clear path to go ahead and win this, because Baker Mayfield's name is Baker Mayfield and not Josh Allen. If Baker Mayfield's name was Josh Allen and he was doing this exact same thing with Tampa Bay, I think you could rubber stamp him in for the MVP, but his name is Baker Mayfield, and that is going to be hard to break. And for some people, it's the same thing with the Cowboys. I will stay with this line of thinking all year long. You have to go at least 10-6-1 and be in the playoffs for Dak to truly be in the MVP conversation.
All right. Okay, Dak.
I not understand. By my metric.
I think you feel that way about any quarterback.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's break it down to the top 3, okay? Because right now, Jared Goff has 14 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Wow.
They're a pretty good team.
Yes, they are.
They're
very
probably going to be in that mix. He has 1,390 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs is on his offense, as well as David Montgomery. Does that come into the conversation too?
Yes.
Like, this is you. Hey, look, as good as you are, you're not the only thing carrying that team. Dak does have a pretty special wide receiver tandem, but they're not going to take away from that. He's making them special is what people will say.
So who was 2nd in MVP last year?
Was it Goff?
It was Lamar Jackson.
So Josh Allen. That's right.
And Lamar Jackson had a dominant performance from Derrick Henry. Didn't really seem to matter. It's lazy voting at times. I don't see a way. And let's say like the Chiefs, because obviously their offense has looked like it's come back live, Rashee Rice being back. The Chiefs go ahead and go 13-4. I have a hard time.
So what you're saying is every year a new panel of voters should be put in. That way there's no fatigue. There can't be fatigue if it's a new group voting.
Associated Press.
I voted for this guy last year. I just vote for you get 5 people from across the country. Obviously, the big cities, Dallas being the weighted the most. What?
The Associated Press employs a lot of people. Surely we could figure out a new way to put some people through there. But
let the fans vote.
I'm being totally serious right here. Can you see a 14-3 Tampa Bay Bucks team and Baker Mayfield doesn't win the MVP? Like, same with the Lions, Same with the Chiefs.
No.
Yes. You cannot see one of those teams going 14-3 and one of those three quarterbacks not winning MVP if Dak is 10-6-1, 9-7-1. I don't care what his interception to his touchdown to interception ratio looks like. It's not going to happen. So say the voters, not me. I told you, I would also have him as like maybe third in the MVP race right now. That's just not the way it goes. But we can still.
That's not the way MVP go.
That's true. But we can all still take appreciation and enjoy the fact that he's playing out of his freaking mind.
Dude, enjoy it right now. It's so much fun.
Absolutely.
We can watch crappy football.
That's true. And hey, you're about to play a Denver team that excels in three quarters of crappy football, then maybe the greatest football you've ever seen in your life.
Yep.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan.
I left formation. Span Ford, the fullback. Handoff Williams right up the middle. Walking in behind Tyler Smith and Schoonmaker. Touchdown, Cowboys. And it is the sixth touchdown rushing for Javonte Williams.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time for some NFL overreaction or reality. We're going to have kind of a Cowboys slant to this. And I want to start off, I feel like I talked forever about it. Overreaction or reality for you two, yes.
Oh, go ahead.
The Cowboys are a good football team.
I can't say overreaction.
Okay.
Overreaction because good football teams consistently are good. Great football yes. teams are consistently great. The Cowboys have been good and bad. Yes. So I will.
Dare I say great?
Yesterday was phenomenal. Kevin, I'm looking at numbers right now, by the way. You want some numbers?
Tell me.
You like numbers?
Yes, I do. You know that I do.
Zone versus man.
Man, we changed it up a lot yesterday.
It was about half. 52% and 48%.
How remarkable zone is 52, that, though?
Zone 52, 48% man. 162 yards given up in zone. 57 in man. One touchdown, one pick in zone. Zero for both in man.
Woo!
Rating of 90.8 in zone, 45.7 in man. Completion percentage, 64-33.
Wow.
And then sack, one in zone, three in man. So you were better in man, but that shows a couple of different things. A, your team really wanted to prove that they could do it.
Yes.
Like your guys were like, hey, mano y mano, I'm better than the guy across from me. Let me prove it to you. And so they did. The other thing, too, is the opposing offense was lacking some receivers, which made it easier for you to man up and also made it easier for you to focus on their run game, which yes. made them one-dimensional, as we discussed over yes. the weekend. And then the other thing is, you confused them by throwing out so much man that they were like, hold on, why is there somebody stuck to that guy? Where's the openings? So like that, this was all positive, but this was going from your 7-iron to maybe a little more of your bag. So that's a good thing, but that's a positive thing.
I agree.
In a good area. Somebody also did say, overreaction or reality, Alec ruined my fantasy team. I started Luke McCaffrey because Alec said he was going to break out.
Mm.
But
twisting my words.
I think I always say this. Cowboys win because, Cowboys lose because is not a prediction of what's going to happen. I'm giving you, if they win, this.
Mm-hmm. It's the multiverse.
It's a potential, yeah. Okay. If this happens, this is going to be my reason. And that was one of the reasons that didn't go right.
Alec, I'm going to start with you on this next question.
Oh, no.
Because this started quite a discussion. Overreaction or reality, the pick six is the most exciting play in football.
Oh, dude.
You saw a lot of exciting plays yesterday, whether it's a bomb pass, I mean in terms of it went deep, or is it a kickoff or punt return? Is it that moment of excitement when you thought Brandon Aubrey was going to get to kick a 68-yard yeah. field goal?
That's a tough question. I'm going to say I'll go reality. I think growing up, there was something special about the kickoff return or the punt return touchdown, but I don't know why now I don't get as excited by that. Maybe because people are just really, really good at returning now. You know, and maybe I'm just numb to good returns because Kevontae Turpin seems to do it all the time. I don't know. I'm going to say yes because a lot of things have to go right or just horribly wrong for the offense for that to happen, because especially the longer ones, you know, like the Deron Bland, there's a chance that, you know, one of the receivers comes up and catches him. There's a chance that the quarterback is a good athlete and catches him. Maybe it's just over the middle of the field where a bunch of linemen are and they have to dance around and they don't really get past. I think a lot of things have to go right for that, so I'll go reality.
By the way, how neat was it when your kickoff returner caught the ball and moved forward?
Yeah, it was cool.
That was a fun difference.
Or caught the ball
from the week before.
It's a luxury.
Knew what to do with it.
Overreaction reality, Corey. The pick six is the most exciting play in football.
I think at the moment of the catch is exciting. Once you get past, like, once you realize the dude's gone, that's when it stops being exciting. I'm going to say the run for 80 yards is the most exciting one.
Ooh.
Because you got to do a lot there. The pass to George Pickens is the Cowboys' most exciting play right now, though. Like, I love CeeDee Lamb. You know how much I love him. But I know whenever Dak says, I'm throwing at the ceiling, that George Pickens is on the other end of that, and it's going to be something fun. So, dude, the pick six, glad it's back in our arsenal, though. Aren't you? Deron Bland, baby, let's go.
Yeah, and you know what's amazing about that pick six? I'm not sure you see it for all of them, but it feels like this happens a decent amount of time. When that ball floated over there, about a half second to a full second before, you could see that had pick six written all over it. Like, people on the Cowboys sidelines were freaking out before he even touched the ball. It was like, oh my God, he's going to score a touchdown.
And why did it happen?
Because of the pressure.
Because of the pressure.
And
you only had guys that could get pressure all the time.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
So, somebody said any Brandon Aubrey field goal, especially plus 60, is amazing.
Anything under 45.
It's a waste of his time.
It's like, okay, yeah, sure.
I don't think it was the 61 yarder. I think it was another field goal that he kicked. And Kevin Burkhart was like, and that would have been good from 80.
He did say that. Yeah. He did say that.
And I really was amused by that. Overreaction or reality? Oof. He's getting an MRI today on his right hamstring. Jaden Daniels' career is going to be littered with injuries. Now, he's already missed two games this year because of a knee injury. If you saw what happened yesterday, it kind of looks like he's going to miss some more games.
Kevin, in the C block today, Jaden Daniels' health has made the hits and misses.
I assume it's a miss. But
I don't know about that.
Okay.
You'll have to listen to find out. What was your question again, though?
I'll be here. Overreaction or reality, Jaden Daniels' career is going to be littered with injuries.
Absolute reality. He's got a wiry frame. The dude can play. He's going to have to bulk up just a little bit, though.
Alec?
It's a reality for the exact reasons that Corey said, and they still run that very college-like offense where there are RPOs and there are designed runs. That's just going to be the nature when you're not the biggest guy on the field and you're running into the second level of the defense. Those linebackers can hit pretty hard.
Would you like the nickname from the 3-2-1 and we start calling him RG4?
No. Was it Umenyora who was like, he doesn't deserve that nickname, RG3. He is Robert.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it was Justin Tuck or something. I can't remember who it was. Somebody was like, he doesn't deserve that nickname. He's just Robert.
NFL overreaction or reality? Patrick Mahomes listens to the show. We talked about this last week.
We did.
What you should do is go up to the line of scrimmage and pretend. And Patrick Mahomes took it a step further by using multiple F words, including this effing thing never works, and then snapping the ball. Overreaction or reality? Patrick Mahomes heard and was inspired by our show, and that's why they ran that play.
Kevin, I know somebody that lives in my house that has Patrick Mahomes' mom's number.
Oh,
for future purposes. It's not me. I know Patrick Mahomes' dad lives in the area.
Yeah. Watch out, motorists.
That Patrick Mahomes lived in Derek Holland's home for a while.
Oh,
I believe that Patrick Mahomes listens to the show and he was like, those guys are right. It's oversaturated the market. We don't need to do that anymore. But how can I make it better? And then he did. Dude, it was, and he was right. When he lined up and he did the thing like that, that's exactly what I was like. God, I hate it. It doesn't work. We've done it too many times. It's not a trick anymore. And then he tricked me.
Yeah.
Gosh,
Romo.
What a trick.
Yeah. Yes.
He was just out there tricking.
Now, one more real quick, because we asked this before the game. Overreaction or reality, the Commanders will not make the playoffs. They're 3-4. Their next three games are the Chiefs, Seahawks, and Lions.
Reality. Their health's going to be the biggest problem this year. And that Dan Quinn and company, can you imagine what the radio's like up there right now?
Oh,
Dan Quinn's
defense
is the worst. We just got slapped around by the awful Cowboys is what they're saying. And we're sitting here just like, this is great. This is a great feeling. Yeah, they got to be miserable up there.
Alec, you said on Friday if they lost, they were done.
Yeah, and I got to stay consistent there, don't I? I think it, I think it's reality. It has to be at this point. Their health is very concerning, and you're finding holes in that defense, as Corey just said. So, and I saw a video of one of the beat reporters in the Washington media circuit that had a video of Joe Witt walking back into the locker room just dejected as all hell. And they said, here's a man who had a very bad day. And
you saw that video, right, where he just pounds the table. Yeah. I thought he was
like
going to Platinum Chevy.
Yeah,
he just wants a new car, man.
Yep.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys.
Bryce Young expected to miss Week 8 versus the Bills with a high ankle sprain.
I could see that.
Let's go.
All right. I did not know you were so anti-Bryce Young. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, and find out if there's other NFL players we were unaware that Corey was rooting against. Next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.